It's time for JT the Brick.
Let's go. Let's pick up the pace. There are high expectations for this team. The Raiders have an established offensive line. You might not love it, but Colt Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James. We got some big dudes today. Who's going to start that first game? Aiden O'Connell, 1. Gardner Minshew, 2. I want the ball out. I want the ball out quickly. I want slants. Will the ball get out? 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, out.
JT the Brick.
And in the last regime, we took too much time in between plays for no apparent reason. We got to get Brock Bowers the ball all the time. He is a gift from the sports gods handed to us in Vegas. If Bowers comes in with 73 receptions and 11 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, that changes everything. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me.
And now,
get him the ball.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as I'm sending out the pre-show tweet. We got a big one today. Welcome into the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio on the Raiders mobile app, live on LV Sports Network and live on YouTube. You should be on our YouTube page. We start a little bit earlier on YouTube. We kind of preview the show and get going. JT the Brick YT is our YouTube page, and it's building, building, building for some unique stuff that we're going to be doing from training camp, because I'm going to be out at training camp for most of it. In beautiful Costa Mesa. Yeah, I'm going to have to call Costa Mesa beautiful because it's 118 coming up today at 117. That is not beautiful. I am Vegas. I love Vegas. Vegas, baby, Vegas. But come on. Let's get out of here for a little bit. Just got back from Vancouver, Costa Mesa. I got a little bit of a trip to San Diego to golf. Oh, I love San Diego. Del Mar, opening day at the Del Mar Racetrack, a tradition unlike any other. And then that's about it. Then it's Costa Mesa, and then I'm on a plane with the Raiders to Minneapolis to call the game live on radio play-by-play as Jason Horowitz, our great play-by-play voice, goes to TV with Matt Millen and Rich Gannon. And I'll be on the radio broadcast again with Eric Allen and the great Hall of Famer for the Rose Bowl and Washington, Lincoln Kennedy. And I can't wait to get with those guys. So that's going to be pretty cool. I am not firing early on training camp. I'm not. I haven't done it ever. I'm not going to do it this year. I'm not doing the show. Not that other people shouldn't do those shows. Go for it. We're doing our summer series, the top 10 Raider games of all time. We're still in the honorable mentions. Hell of a start yesterday. And I've heard that from people inside the building, inside the radio building. If you got a chance, and if you miss any of these shows, they'll live in eternity over here at my YouTube page, or you can find them here at lvsportsnetwork.com. And what we're doing, if you weren't with us yesterday, is we're trying to come up with a list of the 10 greatest games of all time. And as I previewed it yesterday, I don't know what greatest actually means. Most exciting, most memorable, most important. It's out there. I don't know. It's a work in progress. It's summertime radio. You know, I was home today, this morning as always, up early, walking the dog, heat. I came home. My wife did an early airport run. My son was going back on business to Oklahoma. Then he's going to Alabama. He's in that NIL world. And he had a couple of friends who spent the weekend here. So my wife took those guys to the airport. And she got back, and we were starting our morning off. And I was talking about this, how excited I am about this. And she was kind of paying attention. What do you mean by the greatest games, the most important, modern day, old day, Super Bowls? I said, well, we're trying to figure that out. It's interactive. And at the same time, I had on television, and I was watching a sports talk show on TV, and my wife says, oh, it's the greatest line ever. If you know my wife, a lot of people do. She said to me, you're the only one who watches this. That's her line to me. And it's kind of her way of telling me, you know, if you want to go work out, if you want to go take the dog, you want to go run an errand, it's probably better than watching this crap. And what she meant by that is we are in summertime radio where it's just brutal. It's brutal. Because it's just bad. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of top 10 lists, a lot of all this stuff. And again, I'm a long-form truck driver. You know, yesterday, 5 hours solo. And I always bring up that I'm a solo host because I want that to be my legacy. Because I've been dying to get a partner. Because Bobby knows, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I deserve to have a partner. You got some of these shows, I got like 6 guys on the show, and I'm like, why am I doing this summer? Why am I doing the summer series? Because I want to give you unique content, educational content, and kind of help everybody in the Raider Nation have something to talk about because we're all involved in this in the Raider Nation. No matter if you're new, you're old, you've been around with the Raiders since 1960. I came with the team in 98. You might have been around in the 2000s. You know, I want everybody to talk. I want everybody to talk about the Raiders. And that is part of my legacy. I put more people on the radio than anyone in Raider history. That's cool. When it's all said and done, if I can say that, I don't need a plaque. I don't need a button. That'll be pretty cool because no one's going to come from behind and do as many broadcasts as I've done. They're stupid if they do. And they won't count as broadcasts. They'll count as podcasts. And podcasts don't count as broadcasts because this is live radio. You see where I'm going? I'm all worked up today. I'm fired up because I love the show we have lined up. So normally what we're going to do here as we count down to training camp is every day we're going to do a game, but we got to get through the honorable mentions. We got to get through the honorable mentions first that we, and I say we, there's a couple of anonymous people helping me with this because it's not an official Raiders list. It's my list, JT the Brick Show. And as I'm sitting here debating it with some people, they're pushing back at me, going, wait a second. And today's a good example. Today in my honorable mentions, I will begin momentarily with the Holy Roller. One of the legendary moments in Raider history, the Holy Roller. I examined it thoroughly. I talked to people who played in the game. It's one of the most important games because it changed the rules of the NFL. You have an iconic game called the Holy Roller. But it was in September. It was in September. It wasn't in the second round of the playoffs. So is it a great game, an important game? I think the Holy Roller on a lot of people's list are going to be in the top 10 until you hear our top 10 and go, yeah, I understand why JT left the Holy Roller out, but gave it a day to talk about it. So that's called the tease in radio. Program directors now want you to tease. A lot of program directors, we got a good one in Q because he's on the radio like 9 hours a day. He's a grinder too, but most program directors have never hosted a radio show and they call you into meetings and say, you got to tease more. Why just tease with the Holy Roller? Holy Roller's pretty important game, but it didn't make my top 10. It's right there. It's right there, man. But I got Super Bowls. I got AFC Championship games. I got a lot of games I got to get in here. So as we go through these games, I'm putting the Holy Roller on the outside looking in. If you remember the Holy Roller, the importance of that game, what that game meant to you, start dialing because we got to get people interactive on this. I just can't read from Wikipedia the Holy Roller. I need people who are either at the game, remember Banasek, remember Dave Casper, snake throwing it forward, all that stuff. And if you watched it and what it meant to you. So that's part one of the games that we're going to do. The other games we decided on for today, we got three in the bank every day. My goal is to use two of them. So I can spread this out and squeeze the content. Squeeze it out like a sponge. The other game that we chose for today was Raiders-Steelers, September 15th, 2002, the legendary Rod Woodson game. Gannon had a monster game, but a lot of people call it the Rod Woodson game. If you recall that, we'll dive into that. And then the other game that I have after that, the same season, 2002 was very important to me. That was the road to the Super Bowl. Raiders lost Super Bowl 37, but that was a magical season for Rich Gannon, the veterans like Jerry Rice, Tim Brown. And man, let's be honest, since 2002, it's been a little bit lean. You know, there's not a lot of games between 2004 to 2018 for me to dive into. Right? Until we get to Vegas and a couple of games there. So I got a bunch of games that I want to talk to you about, and we'd like to get your participation. 702-365-9200 as we open up the show. And today we have Jeff Sherman over at the Sportsbook at the Westgate. He sets the odds for us. There's a couple of big games happening here. We're going to talk about the odds in multiple sports. So I want to talk to him and keep him in his spot every 2 weeks. And then on top of that, we are going to have Vinny Bonsignore, our NFL insider, is going to join us a little bit later on. And Vinny is going to do a deep dive on everything that's happening here with the Raiders. And we'll do that. Again, I don't think it's important to cover off on breaking news. There's a story today by Mike Florio. I interviewed Mike Florio last night on John Gruden and the lawsuit. I'm probably going to play that on Friday. Part of our Friday programming as I mix in the game. We haven't even figured out the games we're going to get to on Friday. We're off tomorrow because of Aviators baseball. Now, I should send them a bouquet of flowers over to Jim Gemma because I get a day off, But I kind of don't get a day off because I'm working on this stuff. But we're going to be off tomorrow. Then we're going to have Thursday and Friday show. And we're trying to wrap up these honorable mentions before we get into the top 10. But I like the honorable mentions. I think these games are really good. So there's a story on Richard Seymour today being close to being one of the owners of the Raiders with Tom Brady. I'm going to wait till I hear from the Raiders on that. I think you can understand why. It's all over Pro Football Talk. People are blowing up my phones. I have no comment on who the owner is other than Mark Davis. Mark Davis has got some partners, this and that. Mark Davis is the man I work for. Mark Davis is the owner of the team. If he brings in limited partners, I love that. I love that. More people being involved in the growth of this organization, the money that's being made here. But if people want to talk about that and people have been texting me, what do I know about that? I don't know anything about that. As I've always told you, I don't get involved with people's money. I repeat, I don't get involved as an employee of the team of people's money. If they make a lot of money, if they lose a little bit of money, if their contract's up, if their contract's, I'll open it up to you on the phones. But I'm not going to sit here and sit down in front of someone and say, hey, man, I'm talking about your money on the radio. Again, other people can do that. I chose not to, and it's got me this far. Two other stories I want to get into the monologue as we get ready for the Holy Roller. The two big topics is last night, a picture was trending of Zamir White, Zeus, that he took while he was working out. Took one of those pictures that when you're sitting on a bench, you take out your camera and a mirror and you take the picture and it shows you working out. I've never seen anything like it. I told you on this broadcast, the last time I saw Zamir White in the building, I did not recognize him. I literally did not recognize him. I don't know him well. I don't know him well. Been around him a little bit. But I'm just telling you, Zamir White is one of the biggest, strongest human beings I've ever seen. He works out on a farm. He buys horses. He bales hay, he lifts stuff, he builds barns. He played at Georgia. A couple of my buddies are Georgia fans who told me about him before he came to the Raiders. And now one of the debate topics about Zamir White, is he too big? Oh, here we go. Is he too big? Well, he looks to me in this photo like Vince Wilfork. Remember him? The big defensive tackle for the Patriots? He looks like Otis Sistrunk if you're a Raider fan. And I'm like, wait a second. What is going on with this guy? So some Raider fans are speculating, saying, oh, well, you know, he might be too big. Okay, here we go again. It might be what? He's too strong? Is that a bad thing? I told you, if you lined up all 32 starting running backs in this league on a football field from the 20-yard line to the 20-yard line, and you all told them at once to take off your shirt, every person in the building would look at Zamir White and say, wait a second. We asked for the running backs to take off their shirts, not the defensive edge rushers. He looks insane. Insane. I put it up at Twitter, JT the Brick on X. You can Google it, follow it anywhere, and everybody's talking about it now. So is he going to be, he looks like impossible to tackle at the goal line. That's my big takeaway. But you want a nimble guy who can run and break one for 60. He looks enormous. He really does look like a bodybuilder. I can't believe it. I don't know if it's great. I think it's good because what it means to me is that Zeus is in the weight room a lot and he's eating a lot and he's strong and he's doing what you're supposed to do in your career. In your career, you're supposed to work out, be fresh, you know, have a good diet, exercise, and be at the best because your career can end on any play. I mean, this guy's a lot bigger than Josh Jacobs. I mean, he's a lot bigger than Emmitt Smith. He's a lot, his arms, his biceps to me, I've never seen biceps this big on a running back, and I've met Earl Campbell a number of times. I've never seen biceps this big on a guy, so I wanted to get that out there. And I think this is, what is it? Is it a topic? No, I don't think it's much of a topic, but if you want to call in and talk about Zamir White, what are you going to tell me? He's too big? Well, maybe being big and strong is what the Raiders need. Maybe the Raiders need to be more physical. Maybe the Raiders need a running back ready on opening day, ready to pound it in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Maybe the Raiders are going to be a run-first team that sets up the pass. Maybe Luke Getsy is going to use Zeus in ways we've never seen him before. Maybe Zeus is going to block more in a single-back set where we don't need a fullback anymore. I never liked the fullback. I love Marcel Reese, friend of the show back in the day. I love a good fullback. Believe me, a good fullback, and the Raiders have had great ones. you know, Marv Hubbard, go down the road. But nowadays, when you have a fullback in, you got to take a receiver out. Or there's one less receiver when you have a fullback in. Zeus looks like he's the combination of a fullback and a running back. And maybe we're going to need that, we the season ticket holders. Maybe we're going to need that in games where the Raiders got to keep Mahomes on the sideline, got to keep Herbert on the sideline, and they're going to have to run the ball. And this guy looks like he's impossible to tackle. All right, the second topic, Devontae was on with Kate Adams on Up and Adams, and this is interesting because he's promoting his Netflix documentary on the receivers. And Devontae must be listening to this show because this is the show of record of going after the Chargers. I mean, look, the Chargers eventually are going to beat the Raiders. Eventually, there's going to Denver. We swept Denver eight in a row. Eventually, those teams are going to win. I don't know when. I hope it's not this year. But I've been going after the Chargers and this false propaganda. The propaganda machine, oh, they're great. No, they're not. No, they won five games. But they're leading on ESPN and NFL Network because NFL Network is based moments away from where the Chargers are. So they can get a Charger guest on or in the building all the time. And Jim Harbaugh's there. And Jim Harbaugh is flashy, even though he's a hard-nosed guy. He's very appropriate for television. People want to talk about him a lot. So here's Devontae Adams earlier today on the Chargers' social media when they were playing fun and making fun of the Raiders when the schedule came out and they took a shot at the Silver and Black.
It was a little trend a little bit ago where, you know, a few of the social media pages were posting some funny stuff of, you know, when the schedule was releasing. So they posted me and then like a trash can or something like that, the Chargers did. So I thought about responding on social media to it and, you know, being funny there, but I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot.
Yeah, you
like 10 catches, 141 yards and a touchdown. And then the next time that same year, it was like 177 yards and, you know, two touchdowns, I think it was that game. So I just wanted to kind of remind them what they've been going through as it pertains to playing against me. hopefully the people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault. They didn't have anything to do with the posts, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth and show some.
Are you in this new era where you're just letting it fly and opening up more? Because I was not expecting that. Devontae, I feel like you're at this point of your career where you're just letting it fly.
I am. You know, I'm
good for
I'm,
you.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
All right, so this is interesting content. It's very good content. Devontae taking a shot at the Chargers social media. I'm all in for that. I do that every day, so I'm all in for that. That's kind of what I do, but I don't play. Devontae's a future Hall of Famer. And then even Kay Adams asked him afterwards, is this kind of the new you? Yeah, the older guy, been around a while. And he's going to talk about this. He's going to bring it up. He's also promoting a new documentary on Netflix, which is going to do really well on the receivers. It's going to do really well. A lot of people need that content. We're looking for good content. So Devontae's out there promoting it. So I thought that was really good today. I wanted to play that here in the monologue. One more from Devontae, because people are speculating about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets wanting Devontae Adams, a topic we often talk about on this show.
You two are boys, a lot of love for each other. You went to the Derby together. We see the pictures on the Instagram. Are you telling me he's not getting your ear and saying, hey, I want to play with you again?
Oh, he's in that ear, that's for sure. he's in the ear, but you know, it's not as easy as it, you know, obviously we can get together and talk about the old times and potential of doing this and that, but like I said, I'm a Raider, so, and he knows that, so we'll maybe the next.
Yeah, so he said he's a Raider, which he is, and I think I've always told you from what I know, which isn't a lot. I don't know Devontae well. We just interviewed him at Media Day. He gave us a really good interview, which was fun, but everything I've heard from knowing people out here from golf courses to Chef Barry to people around town that I know say Devontae and his wife love it here. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care if Devontae loves it here or not. He could care less. He wants him with the Jets. They want to win a Super Bowl there. But he's a Raider. He's under contract. And that was something that I saw today that I wanted to get here in the monologue. So we opened up with that. Again, 702-365-9200. We're in desperate need, Bobby, of a new leadoff hitter when Chris from West Oakland doesn't lead off. Because, you know, a lot of people get intimidated by Chris because he's good. There's not another caller like him in Raider Nation. So we got to get people to wake up here. Because Monday after a football game, it's one thing. But I'm going to preview the Holy Roller coming up next. We're going to go out to Jeff Sherman. He's going to join us over at the Westgate. We'll get him rolling. And then I'm going to figure out how much time we have to get to the other games here. And the Rod Woodson game. The Rod Woodson game made honorable mention here. It was a really great game. A really great game. And then one more for backup that we'll either use to Thursday. November 11th, 2002 versus Denver on Monday Night Football. You know, the Woodson had another pick in that game, but Gannon and Porter and Gannon to Rice, it was one of the bigger Raider games of all time. It was. Its significance to what happened to the Raiders, starting off 4-0, losing four, having to come back, it's a big deal. And again, would I put it in my top 10? No. No, I wouldn't put it in my top 10, but does it deserve consideration? And do young Raider fans in Vegas and around the country need to hear about this game with the sound bites and take them back in the day? Absolutely. Absolutely with all that. So that'll be our programming today, and we'll get rolling there. Our monologue is brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They own the Strat. I would recommend everybody going out to the Strat and go to the top of the world and maybe have a special occasion dinner up there to see how great it is. If you haven't been to the Strat in a while, a lot of people park there. They go through there for Atomic Golf. They go to the PTs that's in the lobby. They got a William Hill sports book. It's fantastic. A lot of good entertainment there. Their showroom's fantastic. And Golden Entertainment put a lot of money into the Strat to take it into a new era, and they've got it there. And I'm really proud to be associated with Golden Entertainment. You know they own all the PTs here. They also own the Strat, Arizona Charlie's, the Laughlin Entertainment Center, and they fuel the monologue. Best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2, as we open up the show. So that's what I got. That's the monologue. Coming up next, if you remember the Holy Roller, and it's a game that you can recall, join our broadcast at 702-365-9200. You got to remember that this was a game that changed the NFL. Changed the NFL with rules. It was a great Raider victory. It was a bizarre game. A lot of people just remember the last play, but what the Raiders were able to do in that game and send a message makes it a unique game. Is it one of the greatest games of all time? Absolutely. I just don't have it in my top 10. Maybe you do, and we'll debate on that as we open up the show. Good to see our YouTube team. They're part of my team here, man. These are people that I'm able to interact with during the breaks. Video in real time, JT the Brick YT. Keegan Bradley named the captain of the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. That's important because that's 5 minutes from where I grew up. The schedule's coming out next year, man. I'd love that to be the Raider bye week. I'd love to go back for Ryder Cup. That's going to be a topic I get to a little bit later here on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
But the other part that was special is the history that we made today. Black president, female, black general manager, Champ Kelly, and then obviously myself. Don't take that for granted. Again, humbled by the opportunity. And when you look at it, it's just something that, you know, if it goes forever, if it doesn't, you know, for that one moment, we had that opportunity. You know, if it's the next nine games or so, ever, let it be. But very humble.
Antonio Pierce. When he ended up getting the opportunity from interim head coach. Now he's the head coach of the team. JT, back with you as we're live on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. in the Raiders mobile app. And it's hot. It's just hot. There's no other way. You know, I'm not going to sit here every day and quote the weather, but if I'm going to do that, it'll be this time every year. It'll be this time every year because I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen or felt 120. But I've done some 117s before. I've done plenty of 117s, and I don't know exactly what's going on here now, but this is insanity. And I ask everybody to be really careful as they're driving, whatever they're doing today. The heat throws in a loop with everyone there. I think our internet might have went down on YouTube here with the heat, with all that. So let me know via Twitter at JT the Brick as we get going. So again, our top 10 games of all time, we're in the honorable mention mode as we kick off the broadcast today.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
Fires for Bolitnikoff. He is going to get inside the five. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Honorable mention.
All right, so let's get going today with our honorable mention. It takes us back to September 10th, 1978. The Raiders and the Chargers in San Diego, the game known as the Holy Roller. Trailing 24-14 with less than a minute remaining, Ken Stabler took the snap. He rolled to his right, which was an awkward move at the time for a left-handed quarterback when facing a rush as good as the Chargers. And the Chargers brought on an awkward move for Stabler at this time. Bill King's call became legendary. We'll get to that momentarily. Dave Casper grabbing the ball as it was ruled a fumble. Casper had recovered it in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders had scored on the most zany, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play after a Charger defender hit Stabler. Bending over and kicking it while trying to pick it up, and the referee signaled touchdown. Casper stood up with the ball in his arm, practically devoid of any emotion, stunned. Madness on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said, yes, get your big butt out of here. He does, King told the listening audience. There is nothing real in the world anymore. This one will be relived forever. So the Holy Roller and what that game meant, first Stabler on the wild play to Casper.
First and goal on the six. The Raiders have gobbled up on two big plays almost all length of the field here. Double tight end. Play fake. Stabler back. Looking to the end zone. He throws. Casper. Touchdown Raiders. On a crossing pattern, Casper against Mike Fuller got open. And Stabler on three quick plays. The Raiders from their own 23-yard line to pay this and says to the Chargers, hey, wait a minute, babies. Your time may not be today.
That's one of the greatest calls in Raider history, no doubt about that. So that call will go down in infamy for the Raiders as one of the greatest Bill King calls of all time on that play. And how about Stabler to Bradshaw in this 20-14 game as we are building this up in one of the great games in Raider history?
Double wing with Bradshaw on the wing to the left. Stabler back. Pumps one. Fires one deep up the left side to Bradshaw. Makes the catch at the 10. The 5. Touchdown Raiders! A 44-yard strike. Bradshaw beats Stringer. On and out and up. A beautifully led pass. Stringer caught Bradshaw was staying at the sideline. Morrison slashed in a couple of strides toward the ball. Made the catch. Stringer had thus got himself slightly turned around, and his pursuit was a fruitless effort.
You know how much Morris Bradshaw means to me, big plays and Moe's relationship with the Raider Nation, just fabulous there. And, you know, the recovery TD from Casper, Dave Casper had a lot of big plays. I think his greatest plays were in Super Bowl 11, where Stabler to Casper was magical in that game. But we can't forget this because a lot of people remember Casper first for this play.
The outside man, that's the way they did it, and it paid off for him. 10 seconds left. Kolesnikoff out. Bradshaw on the ball in the 14. Oakland trails 20-14. The crowd takes up a chant of defense. Robisky and Banaszak in the back. Slot right. Branch inside. Bradshaw. Stabler back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. And he throws. He can't. The ball slipped forward. Is loose. A wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Pulse for grabbing the ball. It is rolled. A fumble. Casper is recovered in the end zone.
Get your big butt out of here. He does.
So that's it on that play as we open up with the Holy Roller. I want to get your opinion on that play and the impact that it had. The reason, and again, I didn't have it as a top 10 game as we count down to 10, but I wanted to include it early in the honorable mentions because of the impact on that play with Banaszek, with Casper, with Stabler, and what happened and what was due to the play and why it came about. It was a desperation play. It was an absolute desperation play when Kenny threw the ball ahead. And when he threw the ball ahead, he did it for a reason. There was no other options. That was it. That wasn't a drawn-up play. That was a play that had to happen at the time. According to the NFL rulebook, if a runner intentionally fumbles forward, it's a forward pass. Also during the play, the game officials ruled that Banaszek and Casper's actions were legal because it was impossible to determine if they intentionally battered the ball forward, which would have been ruled a penalty. The NFL also supported referee Jerry Markbright's call that Stabler fumbled the ball instead of throwing it forward. It's significant in Raider history because of the wacky, unusual play that happened there, and the rule changed eventually down the road, which is really important when it comes to that. So when we look back on certain plays in Raider history, I think that individual play, if we did the top 10 plays in Raider history, I think Holy Roller would have came in at number 2 or number 3, right? The Immaculate Deception went against the Raiders. This one went against the Chargers, and Charger fans still talk about it today. You know, Holy Roller was a great game, and it's funny because all the rules they got away with and broke on that play that eventually changed the rules anyway. Pete Banaszek especially intentionally threw the ball forward. As far as that, look, as the Raiders, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. At that point in time, Charger fans, and I've talked to Charger players and fans about that game, what made it really unique is it broke the back of the Chargers. The Charger fans who left the game that day in a sold-out house have never recovered from the Holy Roller. And if you stop a Charger fan, and the Charger fans have had their backs broken, their hearts ripped out by the Raiders, you can obviously say, other than Plunkett winning as the wild card going through there, some of the other big moments in the history of the Raiders, the Holy Roller to the Chargers. And the Chargers might be involved, wink, wink, in our top 10 plays of all time. Right, we haven't even got to the top 10 yet, and the Chargers, Bobby, are already involved there.
You know, one thing I've noticed when I've been doing these highlights and whatnot is you go back and you look at the games from like the late 60s and the early 70s, you can't watch a play from back then without looking at it and going, okay, personal foul, horse collar tackle, pass interference, and none of these things were called back then. I mean, quarterbacks are getting nailed on a daily basis, no roughing the passer calls, none of that kind of thing. It's really amazing to see a guy like Villapiano just lay out a guy and then no penalty, third down, go ahead, nothing to it. That thing would be leading off sports. I mean, look at that fight from yesterday with Oakland and Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just like a minor thing to be back in the 70s. Like, yeah, okay, cool, third down, let's keep going. That thing would be leading SportsCenter for a month.
Yeah, it would be. It's a very good point on your part that there were a lot of plays that happened that were either going against the Raiders or that play going for the Raiders. And as we looked at this game and we dove into it, one of the big things that jumped out at me is that, you know, Raider fans, a lot of them think that the refs are always against them. And that's fair because there's a lot of instances where the Raiders can say that and it's actually true. When you look at a game and you say, wait a second, how did that happen? How did that go against us? We got robbed. Well, on that play went against the Chargers, and a lot of Charger fans at that time, it took them years to recover. So that's the Holy Roller. I haven't heard from one caller yet on the Holy Roller. Pretty surprised by that. 702-365-9200. If you were at that game, if you remember that game, if the Holy Roller had an impact in your life and you remember where you were at that time, we definitely want to hear from you. 702-365-9200. Jeff Sherman's going to join us on the other side with some gambling, sports gambling. You got a lot of big events coming up here. You know, he's been covering golf at a really heavy level. We have the Open Championship, the Scottish Open coming up here. But the NBA is in town. And last night I was at Wynn, here in Vegas hosting my show from 4 to 7, and there were NBA players flying through the place, as that's one of the home hotels there. So you got the Olympic team that I want to mention and some of the gambling going forward. Jeff Sherman joins us on the other side as we're brought to you by Boyd Gaming, official partner of the Silver and Black. Get on in, locals, and head on out to any of their properties here and see what they're doing. Incredible partner of the Silver and Black, Boyd Gaming. As we look back at the top games in Raiders history, the Holy Roller will discuss before we get into our next game on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Not having Clay, man, it still hasn't really sunk in just because you've been doing it for 13 years together. And coach made a joke. Sometimes you can't really find Clay in the off seasons and you don't really hear from him as much. And then he shows up at training camp ready to go. I kind of have this idea that, you know, October he'll still like, you know, hey guys, what's up? Like, but I know it's not happening.
That's Steph Curry. JT back with you. Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. They're a proud partner of ours on the Raiders. Top 10 games of all time. We'll get back to the Holy Roller and all the games that we're talking about. Jeff Sherman joins us, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate. Jeff, before we get to some sports gambling topics, what's the property been like with the heat? I like to go in there and cool off. You've been here a while along with me, 120. We've never done 118 before. How's everything holding up?
Yeah, a lot of people wanting to get away, too. They get inside and enjoy some beverages.
Yes.
It's been steady busy, so it's, you know, it gets everyone inside instead of doing outside activities.
You got it. Let's start with the NBA free agency, and we saw DeMar DeRozan go to Sacramento. I think that's a big deal overall. Paul George going to Philadelphia. Last I talked to you, my Knicks were looking like they were the team with what they were doing. Let's talk about the odds here and what the favorites have done here and how that's changed since free agency began.
Yeah, well, the Celtics have been holding strong as a 3-1 favorite. No movement on them. They're returning their entire team. The three teams that you mentioned, starting with Sacramento, adding DeRozan, not much movement. They were 60-1 for the title, just went to 50. So there's still a lot of teams ahead of them in the pecking order. The large moves have been the 76ers and the Knicks, what you talked about. 76ers adding Paul George went from 12-8. Then we took some support for them at 8-1. Now they're 7-1. The Knicks were 14-1. They added Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. They went down to 9-1. Then we took some support for them, so now they're down to 8-1.
Okay.
And as we've been lowering those teams, we've been bumping other teams up like Denver, the Lakers, and spend the Clippers losing Paul George.
Well, let's go with the Lakers. Where do you have the Lakers? I'm surprised they've got nothing done in free agency. I thought that was the goal of LeBron James to recruit some players and try to get him in there and to fit a narrative going forward that they're going to take a run. Where do you have the Lakers?
Yeah, they opened up 20-1. They eased up to 25, and then after, like you said, doing nothing during free agency or trades, they're up to 30-1. And if they continue to go through the summer without making any trades at all, they'll probably go up higher than that, but they're sitting 30-1 right now.
So no sharp money coming in at 30-1. You think people are waiting for 35 or maybe even 40-1?
Yeah, there usually is not sharp money on the Lakers. It's usually public money, and the sharps like to fade them and go under their season wins. And so it's, you know, I think that the public is going to wait for them to go higher to see how it transpires if they make any trades.
Let's go to the NHL, where kind of a disappointment for the Knights losing Marchessault. They let all their free agents go, but they've built a pretty good roster the years and spent a lot of money. I want to give them a lot of credit for bringing in players, especially at the trade deadline, but not a lot of buzz. I wonder what the odds are for the Vegas Golden Knights going into next year.
Yeah, they were one of the co-favorites at 10-1, but losing six free agents are up to 16-1, so they've fallen out of the pecking order, which starts with Edmonton. Edmonton was 10-1. Now they're 8-1. Then we have defending champion Florida at 10-1, along with Dallas and Colorado. Carolina, the Rangers, and Devils are 12-1. So a few teams ahead of the Knights at 16.
Yeah, I look at that, and I know they're not done yet. I wonder what's going to happen at the trade deadline when the regular season comes back. All right, so for Bronny James, I've been really waiting to talk to you about this. Give me your big picture, your helicopter view overall about where he was drafted at 55 when a lot of people thought he wouldn't get drafted. Now that he comes in, it doesn't change anything with the Lakers and their season odds to win a championship. But Bronny James prop bets, long prop bets, what's that about?
Yeah, we thought, you know, with all the buzz you get in the media on him, we'll put some things up where you can get interest throughout the whole season. And we put up a method of first basket. What's it going to be, layup, three-pointer, free throw? So there's odds on that. We have some achievable numbers, or maybe unachievable, depending how you put it. But will he score 20-plus points in any regular season game at 12-to-1 odds? Will he get 10-plus assists in any game, 60-to-1 odds? And 10-plus rebounds in any game at 25-to-1 odds.
Jeff Sherman is our guest over at the Westgate Superbook. So any large NFL Super Bowl wagers so far, considering we went through the draft and a little bit of free agency? Nothing really jumped out at me massive to look at Kansas City any differently. What are you seeing over at the Superbook?
Well, we had some people look at them differently. We just took 40,000 on them at 6-to-1 Ooh. Yesterday. Ooh. So we're down to 5-to-1 on the Chiefs. We also took 15,000 on the Texans at 16-to-1. So we're down to 14-to-1 on Houston. They've been getting a lot of public support. At the same time that we lowered those teams, we had to raise some teams like Buffalo's up to 16-to-1. Dallas is up to 18-to-1. But notable moves have been Chiefs 6-to-5 and Houston 16-to-14.
Where we have our Vegas audience here with the Raiders. Where are the Raiders?
Still sitting at 100-to-1.
Raiders still sitting at 100-to-1. Finally, I know how much you love golf and setting odds. Today was a good day. I grew up 5 miles away from Bethpage Black, where they'll have the Ryder Cup, and with Keegan Bradley named the captain there. Very interesting. He's a solid guy. He wants to make the team on his own merit, plus his captain picks overall. He's a Boston guy, a Red Sox fan on Yankee soil, and I thought he handled that well at the introductory press conference. Big deal, a no-nonsense guy coming in to lead and be Captain America for the Ryder Cup next year.
Yeah, and the one thing I really like what he said is it doesn't matter where the golfers are playing, he'll take the 12 best, so you'll see some live golfers on the U.S. team, which you know that'll probably entice the Europeans to do the same. So a little bit of incorporation there, but his method, it should be interesting and fun. It's a different pick. You know, they asked Tiger to do it, and he declined. Mm-hmm. So going with Keegan Bradley was a little bit outside the box, but I think it's a good pick.
Lastly, open odds out in the distance here. Again, we've seen some powerful performances from Scottie Scheffler this year and a couple of younger golfers now showing up with some of these lesser publicized tournaments. What's building up when it comes from an odds perspective for the Open?
Yeah, we're still sitting Scheffler, the obvious favorite at 9-to-2, followed by McIlroy at 9-to-1 coming off his tough U.S. Open. Xander Schauffele at 14, Bryson at 14. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, young golfers, Davis Thompson coming off his first victory last week at the John Deere. He opened up at 150. He's already down to 100-to-1 for next week's tournament.
Great, Jeff. Stay hydrated. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you today.
Okay, thanks, JT.
Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate. Head on out there. The sharpest sports book in the world, the Westgate, the Superbook. Let's get out to Raiders 66, as he likes to jump in on the history of the Raiders here as we're looking at the Holy Roller. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I love that, JT. Thank you very much. Yeah, the Holy Roller, that was an immensely satisfying game for me. I was actually at the 49er game that weekend with a buddy of mine from high school. He's a huge Niner fan and a card-carrying Raider hater. And the people in front of us had one of those little watchmans, and they were watching the Raider game and the Chargers. And all game long, my buddy's chirping on me like, the Chargers are kicking the Raiders' butts. So it gets down to the final play, and all I hear is him using every F-word he can think of, every expletive that could come out of his mouth. And he goes, those Raiders, that's why I hate them so much. They always find a way to win. And I'm thinking to myself, that's why I love these guys, is the mystique that Stabler and the Raiders had, that they always seem to pull something out. And it's one of those games where another rule change came about because of that play, and the Raiders are chock full of those throughout their history. But, it was one of those games where, you just look at it and you just have this big smile on your face. And I think that is one of those galvanizing plays, so you are rightfully to put it in the honorable mention group, is that it galvanized Raider Nation and made the haters of the Raiders hate them much more. And that's the whole thing about the Raiders, is that there's so many haters out there, but it makes us, Raider Nation, just love them so very, very much. So thank you for that. And Bill King is absolutely the best. And, thanks for those plays.
And you were around, and you know that. And I think when you look at the years after the Super Bowl was won, the 76 season into 77, and then after that, the Raiders pretty much had their Super Bowl team. And early in 1978, September 10th, I mean, would the game have been more important if it was played in November or December? I think a little bit more, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's probably one of the top two to three greatest plays in Raider history. You would agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And the Raiders have had a number of those go against them, like the immaculate deception and stuff like that. So it was great when something that wacky went with them and helped to come to a victory. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's one of the top plays, and it would have been a bigger deal later in the season because playoff matches, you know, playoff seeding would have maybe been more apparent then. But yeah, coming early in the season, set the tone for the season and saying, you know what, with Stabler behind center, we're never out of it. And that's the message they sent.
Take care, my friend. You got it. There he is, Raider 66, participating. Again, we like participation. There's someone who listened to what we're doing today, followed the format, had a phone call about it. We're only looking to hear from a few people a day, but this is why we're doing this here. People who lived and went to these games and remember these memories, try to interact with us on Twitter at JT the Brick or on Facebook, JT the Brick, and on YouTube as we're back up and running. We crashed. We had a lot of people in here. We crashed. I relaunched it. JT the Brick YT is if you're looking to subscribe. And please subscribe to the channel as we're building it for the camp that's coming up here. This is all gravy. We're getting new people coming in there, but we're going to be streaming live from Raiders camp out in Costa Mesa. I think that's going to be really cool how we set that up along the way. Hour number one is done. When we come back, we are going to go back to a really great game in Raider history. Another September game, 15th, 2002. There aren't many modern games in the all-time great games. This is one considered one of the record-setting performances on both offense and defense in Raider history. Can't wait to get to this game coming up. You don't want to miss this as we're rocking through the greatest games of all time. These are our honorable mentions. We got another big one coming up. Oh, and Vinny Bonsignor will join us at the bottom of next hour. We are brought to you by our great friends. Modelo. Have an ice cold Modelo on me.